In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Amen. Dear fathers, dear seminarians, dear friends, the Chrismal Mass, named after the Holy Chrism, which is the principal oil of the three oils consecrated in this, solemnly consecrated in this ceremony on Holy Thursday. Holy Thursday, because that's the day when our Lord instituted the priesthood, and these are the oils which will be both the consecration, the means of consecrating the priesthood, and also the instruments of the priesthood. These three oils are involved in four of the seven sacraments: baptism, the holy oil, and the holy chrism. Confirmation, the holy chrism. Holy orders, or the ordination of priests. For priests, the holy oil. And for bishops, the holy chrism. And finally, for extreme unction, the oil of the sick. Oleum infirmorum. And of these three, no doubt the highest is the Holy Chrism, as we can judge by the extra solemnity with which it's consecrated during this ceremony. It seems the oil of the sick seems to be quite a light consecration, and yet this is the oil which will serve for extreme unction, to consecrate a soul for death, to consecrate a soul, the final consecration for heaven. The anointing with the sick, the anointing with oil, to often before death, it shouldn't be given unless there's danger of death, to help wipe away sin and to anoint the soul for heaven. The Holy Chrism, you will see each priest present, and we're very glad to have as many priests as possible present. Each priest present will help to participate. He will participate in consecrating the Holy Chrism. Each of them will salute or greet and then breathe over with the sign of the cross the Holy Chrism. And similarly with the Holy Oil. But the Holy Chrism is the most solemn of all. The principle of using oils is certainly an institution of God. It goes back to the Old Testament. Everything in the Old Testament was a preparation for the New Testament. And one of those things that the Lord God wished to institute in the Old Testament to make sure that the idea was well established for the New Testament, or the practice, if you like, was oils. And you can see, if you have a missal in your hands, a hand missal, you can, if you read the ceremony, if the Chrismal Mass is in your hand missal, and you read in particular the preface for the consecrating of the Holy Chrism, you will see magnificent references to the practice of Moses and Aaron, going then back to Mount Sinai, and the institution of the Old Testament by Moses, with the Lord God thundering upon Mount Sinai, and all the people of Israel were scared out of their wits by the grandeur and majesty of God. And that's the time at which he taught his people to begin to use oils for consecration. Today, we are rather less scared. Unfortunately, we're rather less scared of the majesty of God. The majesty of God has been rather lost out of sight. And today, the mass of people think that the Lord God is a pushover. He is soft and sweet. He can be neglected for 6.5 days a week. At most, he must have a little homage paid him on Sunday morning, but the rest of the week has got nothing to do with him. Religion is a very sweet and nice and sentimental affair, but it's got nothing to do with real life. And the result is that real life becomes completely irreligious and religion becomes completely unreal.
dear boys in particular, coming from outside to attend this ceremony. You have a world around you that thinks like that. And don't think that the world all around us doesn't get to ourselves. In this culture of today, better called anti-culture, the way in which most people believe and think, the values and standards to which they hold, religion is exactly that, soft and silly. It's a shame we can't have, I speak humanly, it's a shame we can't have a little more of the thunder and lightning of the Lord God of Mount Sinai to scare the wits out of ourselves and bring us back to a sense of what religion really is. The worship due to the real God for the real gift he has given us of life, in order that we make sure of reaching a very real heaven and avoiding a horribly real hell. Dear boys, the mass of people around you believe in sport, television, money, cars, pleasure, vacations. They don't believe in their immortal soul. They don't believe in a life to come. They hardly believe in a God. And if they do believe in a God, it's a God that they have well tamed on the end of a leash, who will do and think what they want him to do and think, and who will leave them alone for 6.5 days a week. That's the God of most people today. And he's not the real God at all. How could he be if one stops and thinks for one moment? Such a God is ridiculous. He couldn't possibly be the real God. But that's the God that most people have arranged for themselves. He's a lot more comfortable and a lot more convenient. Watch out, boys. Watch out. Since that's how so many people think, since that's how the whole world today runs, there is a strong chance that sooner or later you will go with the flow. There's plenty to induce you to go with the flow. And you will join in a great movement of apostasy, of falling away from God. Where will it lead you? Where will it bring you? It can't bring you anywhere else than into the fires of hell, short of a special conversion, a gift of conversion. If you slip away from God, says St. Paul, if you've once known him, it's much more difficult to come back to him, having known him and turned away from him. Dear boys, on the one hand, you've been given the gift of the truth and of the true religion and a sense of the true religion. And today, you have a glimpse of the beauty, the liturgical beauty of the true religion. Beauty is truth, truth, beauty. But you have around you all kinds of inducements then to slip away from both, to pursue some false beauty, some mirage, some illusion. And the world will offer you plenty of illusions of beauty and truth. And what it's offering you is lies and, sooner or later, ugliness. But alongside the Lord God having given you at least a handle in your young years on the true religion, you've also been given a responsibility. From now, you cannot unknow. You cannot be as ignorant as all of the other boys, as so many of the other boys around you. And you cannot pretend that you do not know like they do not know. Every single one of them, to every single one of them, in some shape, size, or form, the Lord God is trying to get through. The Lord God is giving some grace or other, because he didn't create them in order to fall into hell. He created them to get to heaven. And to everyone, he's giving what they need to start on the road to heaven. But to yourselves, he's given much more than just those starting graces. One unhappy day, you might be tempted to regret that you know what you do know. You might be tempted to wish that you were as ignorant as everybody else, and then you could happily join in, you could happily go with the flow like everybody else. But that's not what God meant for you by bringing you to the real religion. And on some happy day, you will fully realize what a gift it has been that you can see, that you've been put on the track to see where the real truth is, and that you've been put on a track to be able to get to heaven. The start of you being put on the foot of an escalator to heaven. It's going to take, on your part, make no mistake, a rough combat, a rough fight to get to heaven. Nobody ever got to heaven on feather beds, said St. Thomas More. And nobody's promising you an easy ride, least of all our Lord. Our Lord said, he that wishes to be my disciple, let him take up his cross. Let him renounce himself, take up his cross each day and follow me. The world of today, and even the mass of Catholics today, don't want to hear of the cross. They don't want the cross. We don't like suffering. None of us likes suffering. None of us wants the cross. And the new religion, the new Catholic Church, the new church, the renovated, updated Catholic Church is essentially a church that's done away with the cross. It's made the Catholic religion soft and easy, all flowers without thorns. It's untrue. And it can't lead to heaven. Feast your eyes on the liturgy you will see today. Feast your mind on a depth of history, on the grandeur of God going back to the Old Testament. Feed your hearts on the greatness and love of this God who died precisely on the cross in order to purchase for us the seven sacraments, which are the instruments of our getting to heaven. And thank God for these oils with which, very possibly, this year or next year or whenever, you yourselves will, in one of those four sacraments, be anointed. And always, if the way seems hard, or if the cross is heavy, or if you're tempted to think that there's no gentleness or tenderness in this demanding religion, turn to the Mother of God, the mother of all of us Catholics, the spiritual mother of all of us Catholics, without whom it's very easy to get a false idea of Catholicism, and whom then we need to have a true idea of how much our Lord wishes to give us and how he wishes to reach us. And it's not only through the cross, then, it's also through a most gentle mother. Pray to her, dear boys, each day of your lives, and pray in particular the Holy Rosary, which is the prayer that she herself always recommends as the one with which to reach her and with which, through her, to reach her Son. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.